This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
So I am joined today by the author Robin Stevens. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Vix. I'm so glad to be with you.
To be honest, it feels right that we're speaking like this because you've been in the Fun Kids studio so many times. To have not spoken to you for such a long time, I'm glad that we're finally doing this.
I know. I wish I could be with there in person, but this is a nice substitute, I think. And I get to see your study.
Well, yeah. My dad's mini filing system in the background. It's an interesting combination of that. And then there's a lot of mess down here and some toys and puppets and it's a whole thing. So tell me about your newest book. It's your last one in the Murder Most Unladylike series, Death Set Sail. What is happening in the book?
So yeah, Death Set Sail is the final Murder Most Unladylike Mysteries novel and is a big send-off for the series. Daisy and Hazel have gone to Egypt to see their friend Amina to have Christmas in Egypt, and they go on the Nile on a cruise ship with their friends Alexander and George and Hazel's family, so a lot of familiar and friendly characters, hopefully. And they're also there with a mysterious cult, a mysterious and slightly dangerous seeming cult, and the cult leader is a woman who everybody seems to have reasons to hate, and then one morning she is discovered dead in her cabin. And Daisy and Hazel are pitched into another very exciting murder mystery to solve. Now they think that it's just going to be another one of their many murder mysteries, but this crime becomes more personal than almost any other crime they've solved, and much more dangerous because this is a mystery that one of the detective society will not come home from. So tensions are very high, and it's a book I'm really proud of writing and very excited for everyone to read.
How can you just drop that bit in there and then expect people to not lose their mind?
Everyone, all my fans are so excited and so anxious, and they're sending me emails, but I have sworn to not say anything about what happens at the end of it, apart from that, until after the 6th, because I really want people to be able to pick up this book and read it and just not know what's going to happen next. I think that's such an exciting feeling, and I don't want to take that away from anyone by telling you what happens at the end. So it's a proper secret.
In the book, you say the character goes to Egypt. Am I right in thinking, did you go to Egypt as well to do some research?
I did. So I went as a teenager. I went when I was a couple years older than Daisy and Hazel are in this book, but I needed a bit of a refresher. And so in January this year, I went on the Nile. I went on a cruise ship fairly similar to what Daisy and Hazel would have been on. And I basically went to all the places they go in the book. And it was the most amazing experience. And I'd written the first draft before I went. And I thought I remembered Egypt. And I thought I remembered how it felt to be there and what it looked like. Then I got there and I realized I just completely forgotten everything. I had written the Nile the wrong way up. Because of course when you go up the Nile you're going down it geographically, and so I had the moon and the sun on the wrong side, which was really important in the book. So I'm really glad I went, and I think it made the book just so much better, so much more vivid and much more exciting.
Also a topic that I guess a lot of your readers, a lot of our listeners will know pretty well, because I think a lot of people study ancient Egypt in school as well, so there's a kind of basic knowledge I guess that everybody kind of has.
Exactly. And I think that's so interesting and so fun. I think I'm hoping that almost everyone who reads this book will have a basic understanding of, you know, the Egyptian pharaohs and of ancient Egypt. But what I've done is that the cult is a group of people who think they know a lot about ancient Egypt, but don't really, get things wrong and get things a bit confused and sort of made up their own mythology. I thought that was kind of fun. And then, of course, I have somebody who is from Egypt, Amina, who gets really cross with them when they get things wrong. I thought that was a really interesting thing to write about.
So Amina, a lot of your readers will already know, is from the previous books. And yes. Now the gang are kind of like, you know, they're pals a bit. And that's it's quite interesting. You're a good person at bringing in new characters through the series. It's been quite nice to see.
Exactly. This is one of the only books where there isn't a new detective character in it, because I'm bringing back a lot of detective characters we've met before. Amina turned up in Top Marks for Murder, the 8th book, and we have George and Alexander who were in the 3rd book and the 5th book and the 7th book, and we also have Hazel's little sisters, May and Rose, who were in the 6th book, A Spoonful of Murder, and it's all of them together. So I had a lot of detectives in this story, a lot of people to wrangle.
It's a big old swan song. Was this where you always planned it would end? Did you know in your head it was going to be Egypt, or did you know it was going to be this type of case? or were you just writing and seeing what happened?
I knew I wanted to end it. I've sort of noticed for a while that my characters are growing up. They aren't as young as they were in the first book. And they're sort of, people are starting to look at them in a different way. People don't ignore them anymore. They notice them. And that's a bit of a problem when I'm writing about detectives who hide under tables and sneak around. So I knew I wanted to end the series. And I think for a long time I've known that Egypt and the Nile is a place that I would love to go as for a big finish, because one of my favorite murder mysteries is Death on the Nile, which is an Agatha Christie murder mystery book, and there's lots of films of it that I love, and so it felt like just the perfect place to sort of end the series, and so yeah, for quite a while I've known that I wanted to finish on an Egyptian adventure.
And this is, I guess, your ninth book in the series. You've written four mini mysteries as well.
Yeah.
Surely, are you not quite emotional about saying goodbye to your characters?
I'm so emotional. It's just been a hugely emotional roller coaster experience. I normally draft really fast. I write the first draft very quickly in sort of 2 or 3 months. And that's not very good. My first drafts never are. And then I go back and make it better. But I had a real difficulty actually finishing this draft. It sat at about 40,000 words for quite a long time because I didn't want to say goodbye. You know, Daisy and Hazel have been in my head for 10 years. I first made them up in 2010 and it's 2020. And so, yeah, they feel like friends. They feel like family. And I knew I needed to say goodbye, but actually doing it was really heartbreaking. And writing the final chapter, I cried throughout the chapter. And every time I've come back to edit it, I've cried. And so, yeah, you're in for a lot of emotions when you read this book. Bring tissues, I would say.
I bet your readers as well will obviously be thrilled, because I think one of the really great things that your books do is you don't kind of keep your characters in the same place and the same age. I think it's so nice that you have been brave enough to kind of age them, because it gives variety and it's really exciting, and that is true to life. That is what happens.
Exactly.
I guess a lot of your readers will have grown up with the characters as well, so it is a big emotional goodbye.
I know, it's huge. I mean, I have so many readers who started reading when they were, you know, 10, 11, and now they're 15, 16. And so the books have grown up with them. And that's one of the things I really wanted to do. I wanted to write about my characters getting older and all the ways you change. You change your interests, you change the way you relate to your friends, you change the person you are when you're that age. And I really wanted to write that. And I've been really pleased to hear from my fans that they've been able to kind of connect their own growing up to Daisy and Hazel's.
And do you think, will we ever see Daisy and Hazel again in the future as proper grown-ups?
I don't know, but I do know that you will see another one of the characters who appears in Death Set Sail in the future. I am writing a new series. I'm writing a series set in World War II, and it's called The Ministry of Unladylike Activity, and it stars Mae Wong, Hazel's little sister, and two of her friends who are completely new characters, and they are yet to be revealed. We want to reveal them a little closer to publication, which is going to be in 2022, so 2 years to wait. But I have started to plan it, and you can see behind me on the floor something called the Wartime Scrapbook, which is part of my planning. I've been looking at the kind of things that people would have bought, the kind of things they would have worn, to really get myself into the 1940s mindset and work out what Mae and her friends would have been doing. And they will be murder mysteries, this new series, but with slightly new, slightly different characters, and possibly some familiar faces from the Murder Most Unladylike series. So keep your fingers crossed.
Oh, this is exciting. I mean, I know we're talking about the series that's happening right now, but that's really exciting. Was it an era in time you always wanted to write about?
I mean, it's another one of those eras that we think we know a lot about. You know, I did a lot of World War II at school. I feel like I studied it about sort of 6 times. And I think that, you know, still the curriculum is very World War II heavy, but there are a lot of stories that I didn't know about until I was much older, until I sort of started doing more research. And I just think there's so much to write about, so much to uncover, and so many interesting stories to tell. And also, of course, a world war is a great place to sort of hide some murders in. I think it's just the perfect setting for my books, I think. And I'm really excited to dive in.
it must slightly take away the edge of pain from losing one series. At least you've got another thing to concentrate on and a place to kind of go between the two. You can bring back some characters every now and again.
Exactly. And it is so nice to be able to go back to that world, because it is a place, it's a world that, you know, I created as sort of a comfort for myself, as somewhere to go sort of hide in. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to go back there and see my characters and sort of create new stories about them.
Oh, that's so exciting. I'm so happy for you. I'm genuinely chuffed. But now, because it's the last book, I thought we'd do a little, just a few questions, just to see, looking back on the whole series, just to get your thoughts on them. So don't worry, no stress on this one, but I thought I'd ask you a few questions. So, for example, who is your best favourite character who's not Hazel or Daisy?
I think that... almost all of them are my favourite characters. I love Beanie, I love Alexander, but I think the character who I really loved and sort of turned into a main character, wasn't really meant to be, is George. Because he was mentioned in First Class Murder, the third book, and then he turns up in Mistletoe and Murder, the fifth. And the minute he turned up, I knew that I had... Sometimes characters just leap off the page and you just know them and you just feel like this is a real person. And I really felt that with George. He's a very forceful character. And he's been in a lot more books than I thought he was going to, because I just like him so much. I like Alexander. So yeah, George.
George, okay. What was your, I've put worst murder, but I mean kind of like the most brutal murder, or the one that you were a bit scared of writing even?
I do get scared when I write all of my murders, and I write all of the sort of frightening scenes. I feel like I'm there with Daisy and Hazel, and it upsets me. I think the murder that I sort of come back to, and fans come back to a lot, as one that's both gruesome and quite like emotionally taxing, is the one at Arsenic for Tea. That's quite an upsetting one. Also, I think the one in A Spoonful of Murder. That's another one that I think is quite sad, and I always feel sympathy for my victims, but that's one that I really do feel sympathy for the victims. So, yeah, but my favourite bit isn't writing the murder. My favourite bit is writing the solution to the murder.
Sure. What was your favourite location? Now, you've been to lots of different places. You've been in a theatre, you've been on train. Where's your favourite place to write about?
I think I love the Orient Express, the train in First Class Murder. So that one, I really liked the theatre. I'm saying theatre and train, just what you said, but those I think are possibly my two favourites. But I loved being in Egypt, and I think that setting was incredible. And I hope I've done it justice, because it's the most wonderful place. It was the most wonderful experience. So possibly Egypt.
Well, good answer for this. Let's face it. What was the most difficult book to write?
They were all difficult in different ways. I think A Spoonful of Murder was really hard, because it's set in Hong Kong. So, you know, I had to travel to go there and do all the research that I would do about a place when I write about it. But I also had to write about it not as visitor, but as somebody who grew up there, because of course Hazel was born there. She lives there. It's her home. So I had to write about it as a place that I knew so well as her. And of course, it's not a place I know so well. I've been twice. I have a lot of friends who are from there, but I didn't grow up there. So that was really hard. And I did a huge amount of research and a huge amount of interviews with people. And I got the book read by a lot of different people to make sure that I was getting that sense of home in there for Hong Kong and for Hazel.
Yeah, I can imagine that was incredibly difficult. What was the quickest book to write? Which one were you just like bash?
Death in the Spotlight. That one just poured out of me. Sometimes I have good ideas and it takes me a while to get them straight in my head, or I have something I think is a good idea and then I'm writing it and I think, oh no, it's not as good as I thought it was. But Death in the Spotlight was one where I had a good idea and I wrote it and it stayed being a good idea. And I just finished it. I sent it to my editor and she was like, this is just really good. Most of the time we do have to do a lot of work, but that was one we didn't have to do a huge amount of work on. So that was a very lucky book, I think. Death Set Sail was a much harder book. It took a long time to get that one right.
Chocolate eclairs or cream buns? I mean, I know you're into your cakes and your afternoon teas, so I thought I'd ask that one just in case.
Oh, cream buns, I think. Not just because it's the title of one of my books, but I like chocolate, but yeah, cream buns.
Cream buns. Well, if we go to afternoon tea, I'll have the eclairs. You have the cream buns. We can share.
I might have one eclair. I do like eclairs.
We can shop and change. It's fine. Yeah. Finally, I don't think you'll be able to answer this, but I just thought I'd check. Hazel or Daisy?
I love them for different reasons. Hazel is the person who, she's kinder, she's nicer. I think she's the person I'd want to be friends with. She's a much more giving, thoughtful person. But Daisy is so fun to write. She's a joy as an author. She always has the best comeback, and she's so witty, and she's so sharp and brave and bold. And, you know, she's always rushing around and sort of making mistakes and sort of being hilarious. And I love her as a writer, and I love writing her voice. And my World Book Day short story, The Case of the Drowned Pearl, I got to write from her perspective as well as Hazel's, and that was so fun to balance them off against each other.
Well, I think this series has meant so much to so many people. I think everybody's going to be gutted for it to end, but also thrilled that you've got something new on the way. That's really exciting. Also, very important to me is the colour of the book. Is this one kind of goldy, would we say?
It's beautiful. It's gold. The cover is gold. And then it's got sort of blue foil on it. My name's in blue foil. And then the sides of the book, the pages are sprayed blue. And so it's going to look like a sort of burial object from an ancient Egyptian tomb. And it's beautiful.
What a way to go. What a way to have a last book in the series. That's amazing.
I know. Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for talking to us. Death of Sailors out right now. So if you're a Murder Most Unknown Like fan, or just a fan of good books, to be honest, everybody should go and check it out and buy it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you for having me. It's really nice to talk to you.
You too.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.